بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. ما بعد، سيد بن عبد العزيز بن ربيعة بن يزيد النبي إدريس الخولاني عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يروي عن الله تبارك وتعالى أنه قال: يا عبادي، إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا، إلى آخر الحديث. As human beings we are constantly entering into arrangements or contracts or dealings with one another, whether it be a financial interaction like some business deal or some verbal promise that is made or something that is sometimes written down or recorded, or even if it be a physical relationship like husband and wife or between an employer and an employee, various different types of contracts and relationships all the time in this interaction in society are taking place. And the principal message in the initial part of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us on the tongue of His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in whatever contract or deal or relationship you enter with your fellow human being, do not be a zalim. Do not be an oppressor. As a husband, don't oppress your wife. As a wife, she mustn't oppress her husband. In other words, do not transgress upon the rights of one another. Likewise, as an employer, as an employee, in some business or financial relationship. Unfortunately, as we mentioned yesterday, we are living in an era or a period where there are very few of us that can say that the finger has not been pointed against us. Or there are very few of us that have what we may call a clean sheet or a clean record. What we need to understand is that particularly in our financial or verbal interaction and dealings, on the one hand, we have to have Allah's taqwa in front of us, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have the consciousness of the hereafter, that we have to be accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And more importantly, we have to understand that every one of us, particularly those of us that are linked or associated with deen, maybe wearing an Islamic garb, outwardly exhibiting the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that garb, that display of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that attachment with ulama, with the effort of deen, carries with it a second nuance, or carries with it a second responsibility, that we are ambassadors of Islam. And a lot of times when we use vile language, a lot of times when we enter into some deal which we do not honor, what is the impression and the effect that we are leaving behind on the person with whom we have interacted, Muslim or non-Muslim? And many times we find that the person's dealings are not right, or he's an employer and he speaks anyhow to his employees, uses vile languages, becomes upset, insults, hurts the feelings of the families, etc. Or he does not honor his promise, does not pay his staff their wages on time, or whatever it may be. We find that very often that misconduct of that individual, rather than being associated with that individual, people form an impression of Islam. Non-Muslims particularly, what is their understanding of Islam? They are not coming to the masjid, they are not seeing on salah, they are not exposed to the tilawat of Quran, they are not even allowed to go to Makkah and Medina. Their impression or their understanding of Muslim, Islam, what it represents, aside from what the media is doing, is their interaction with Muslims. So we have to understand that we are an ambassador of Islam. How we are going to conduct ourselves. And if, for example, if you are linked to the effort of Dawat and Tabligh, what is the impression of Tabligh we are leaving behind on people? How we conduct ourselves, how we interact. If you will interact like the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they imbibed within themselves the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people looking at this interaction, this love, this muhabbat, this consideration for one another, the manner in which they spoke to one another, the manner in which they did business and dealt with one another, they just observing this, people were attracted to Islam because they saw the beauty behind this. So we find, my respected brothers, coming back to the subject matter, primarily we have to have this one principle in front of us. Do not be a zalim. Do not be an oppressive one. We were mentioning yesterday, sometimes we enter into some deal or some transaction, and as more often than not, unfortunately nowadays, things turn sour. One party is not prepared to honor his commitment. Then we find sometimes this thing goes to arbitration. And here, there's a very convoluted understanding that has occurred to many of us. A lot of times we feel, you know what, I went by certain judge or my matter was carried to court, I won the case. Or I went to some Molana, whatever, sometimes there's some dispute. One person is more able to present his case rather than worrying about the facts, rather than worrying about what is right and wrong. Now the mindset becomes this, that at all costs I must prove myself right. Even if I have to twist the facts, twist the truth, speak lies. Sometimes when a dispute is taking place and someone's relative is called in, that listen, what did you observe or what is your understanding of this matter? Then rather than speaking the truth or rather than being influenced by what is the affair, he allows his relationship with that person to color his justice, to color his objectivity, and sometimes he gives an opinion which is completely untrue in favor of his relative, etc. The hadith which I referred to yesterday, which I was supposed to discuss in this light, we find that this is a hadith. I'm going to translate it. But more importantly, my respected brothers, let us take the meaning of this hadith to heart. Understand what is the ramifications, what is the underlying message of this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you people sometimes have a dispute. And your dispute reaches a point where you require arbitration. And your matter is brought to me, who? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahibul wahi. Jibreel alayhi salam, 23 years of nubuwat is visited. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in 23 years of nubuwat is visited 24,000 times by Jibreel. How many times the message from the heaven, somebody has a conversation, non-Muslims, they are far away, their entire conversation is reproduced for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would relate to them what it was impossible for him to have heard. And these people would accept Islam. This is sahibul wahi. Your dispute is not being brought in front of an ordinary person. Your dispute is being brought in front of one who has this ta'alluq and this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innakum takhtasimuna ilayya. But what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? La'alla ba'dakum an yakuna alhan bihujjatihi min ba'd. One of you has the gift of the gab. In our layman's terms, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, one of you has the gift of the gab. So what does he do? He twists the representation of the facts. And he does it so convincingly. The other one can't present himself so well. This man, mashallah, is a politician. He knows how to twist things. He knows which buttons to press. So what happens? Alhanu bihujjatihi min ba'd. He twists the truth. He's better in presenting his case. And what happens? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I become influenced by the lies of this person. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I become deceived by this person. So what happens? فَأَقْضِي لَهُ. I rule in his favor. In the dispute, he ate up somebody's haq, he ate up somebody's money, whatever it may have been. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I rule in the favor of this person. Why did I rule in his favor? إِنَّمَا أَقْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعُ. I will rule according to what is presented to me. I am not the knower of the unseen. Alimul Ghuyub. Alamul Ghuyub is only Allah. As I mentioned yesterday, my respected brothers, the fact of the matter is, in any of our disputes, there is no real need for arbitration. In our hearts, we know what the truth is. And this is the message. Don't be a zalim. Don't oppress anyone. Don't eat up the haq of someone. You may be very good in presenting your case. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you ate someone's haq, this case came to me, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You twisted the truth, I believed you. I ruled in your favor because of what I had heard from you or what I understood of the matter. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Do not feel that this exonerates you. Do not feel that you got away. You ate the haq of your brother up. You falsified or you brought up some documents or you twisted the way the truth was presented or you brought up some that while my father was alive or while my uncle was alive, he promised me this land or he verbally handed it over to me. Somehow or the other, you managed to twist things around and you got something that was not yours. In this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I ruled in your favor that this is yours now based on what you said. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That if it was not your haq, despite the fact that the arbitrator was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what in fact has occurred? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِنَّمَا أَقْتَطِعُ لَهُ جُمْرَةً مِّن نَارٍ. I have in fact given you the coals of Jahannam to eat. I have given you by ruling in your favor. You twisted the facts. I got influenced. I ruled in a matter where it was not your haq. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? إِنَّمَا أَقْتَطِعُ لَهُ Jumratam min nar. I have fed you the coals of Jahannam. Now you decide. Falyastaqil aw liyastakthir. Do you want less or do you want more? Do you want less of the coals of Jahannam or do you want more of the coals of Jahannam? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in a matter where he is the arbitrator. Not some judge or not some lawyer or not some molana of this world. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the arbitrator, but you twisted the facts. This message, my respected brothers, this life is very short. One occasion, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about to lead someone's janaza namaz. What does Nabi Sahabi's janaza namaz? He says, "Hauna akhadu min bani fulan." Is anyone here from the family of this person? So one person stood up and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am from the family of this person." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna sahibakum hubisa ala babil jannah." This companion of yours, his soul has been stopped at the door of Jannah. Why? Because there was someone's 2 dinars that he owed. Someone had two, how much? Not thousands or millions, 2 dinars. Someone's 2 dinar haq that this person owed. As a result, the Sahabi's soul was stopped at the door of Jannah. And then what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? In shi'tum fafduhu, wa in shi'tum aslimuhu ila adabillah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want, ransom him and pay the haq on his behalf. Or if you want, hand him over. Aslimuhu ila adabillah. Hand him over to the azab of Allah. When it comes to financial interactions, when it comes to interactions between human beings, my respected brothers, the Shariat is very sangheen. The laws of Shariat are very critical. We have an opportunity while we are alive. The message of this hadith, analyze, introspect, realize and understand, never ever ever be the zalim, never ever be the oppressor, never ever be the one who's eating someone else's haq. Rather give up your haq. Allah Ta'ala will give you very much more in the hereafter. Allah give us tawfiq, smile.